the 15th night of Sha'ban, which is very close to us now, very near, and the night of Laylatul Barat, Shabbe Barat, the 15th night of Sha'ban. Yesterday evening, we discussed some points with regards to the 15th night of Sha'ban, and today we will continue our discussion on this subject. That on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, and what we saw in yesterday's discussion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, announced to us human beings the good news with regards to forgiveness, bakhshish. But there are some conditions laid down. In order to attain forgiveness, we need to fulfill those conditions. And all of those conditions or criteria, they are, you can say, based on one point. They all hinge on one point. Very open announcement from Allah, very clear announcement, clear direction. The criteria that Allah Ta'ala says to us, if you want forgiveness today, on the night of 15th of Sha'ban, you want Allah's rada, Allah's pleasure, and on this night you don't want to lose out, you don't want to return empty-handed, then with a honest heart, we need to promise to Allah. We need to promise. And if we don't make that promise, then we will lose out. We will remain empty-handed. So we have to make a promise. Now, what was that promise we have to make to Allah? What's that improvement we need to make? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a promise from us that Allah says that all of the criteria relating to me forgiving you and all of the success in this world and the hereafter is hinged upon my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's obedience and imitation. In other words, to follow him. Yes? So you can say the foundation of all success is this. Allah Ta'ala says that today if I am forgiving everybody, then there's only one action through which you can attain my forgiveness, and that is following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we'll think, yesterday this didn't come up in those 6 points. They were different. But in reality, this was the message. This was the underlying message. The conditions that Allah Ta'ala presented, those points that we discussed and shared. Allah Ta'ala says, if you look through all of them, they will all result in my forgiveness. And all of the points that were the conditions for forgiveness, the blacklisted points, remember? They are related to akhlaq, conduct and behavior, high level manners. And who was the fountain of akhlaq? From where we can learn akhlaq or we can understand akhlaq, there's only one personality, and that is the greatest personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us guidance. Allah Ta'ala said, don't lie. And we have to promise to Allah that we will not lie. So if we now look, if we don't pay attention to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how will we realize what is truth, honesty and lie? Because we'll say, oh, everything is correct. We'll lie and we'll say, this is honesty. Allah says that don't break the ties, relations. That if we don't look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah, then how will we know what is breaking off the relations? Isn't it? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that don't do dhulam. So how do we know what is the definition of dhulam unless we look at the definition as practiced by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah Ta'ala says that speak truth, words of truth. We cannot classify truth and falsehood unless we look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any action related to akhlaq, behavior, manners, conduct, to learn this, to attain ilm, to become aware, there's no institution, no other kitab, wahid, the life, the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is where we learn the great level of akhlaq, manners, conduct, behavior, how to do intercourse with social society. So our bakhshish, our forgiveness, is on akhlaqiyat. And akhlaqiyat, where do we learn the akhlaqiyat from? From the obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we do not make our lives in accordance with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we don't love him, if we don't bring his azmat and his greatness into our heart, we cannot attain forgiveness in the akhirah. We cannot. Nothing is there in front of us which is not clear. The Quran has told us everything, and all of the orders of the Quran have to be implemented in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. Allah Ta'ala, for example, has said in the Quran that if, for example, somebody does bad to you, you can repay that with a similar action. Or or if somebody commits excess against you, so much to the extreme. But if you do goodness to that person, if you are nice to that person in return, then even the worst of enemies of yours will become your good friend. Allah Ta'ala has given this hukum. So there's the alternative, which is a better alternative. This is the tariqah, the method. That to be strong or stubborn or strict or cold, or for example, to speak to somebody continuously with anger, with rudeness, sternness. Allah says this is not correct. So where do we learn the manner of speaking and approaching people from? From the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a great point. I'll give you an example here, that everything is contained within the ittiba, following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the total deen, and the 15th night of Shaaban that is coming, we will not be forgiven through any drama. Remember, we have not done many good actions possibly in our lives, so let's understand the purpose of life. All of our ibadah, worship, dhikr, tasawwuf, and our efforts and our struggling and striving will only be successful and accepted at that time when we promise to Allah that we will follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That every second we will spend according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. And when a person lives his life on ittiba, following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he cannot make a wrong decision. The Quran has given us a hukm. And this is a big point here, that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his big sunnah, that to be gentle and tender and soft in mannerism, approach in speech, and this is a sign of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was from within the signs that were told to the people in the Tawrat. The praise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was foretold that the Nabi who will come, the final Nabi, he will not be stern and strict, he will be soft and gentle and caring. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, there are many events from the Sahaba, and Abdullah bin Salam is there, Budar Ghafari radiallahu anhu, and many other companions who confirmed this, who had a link with different religions or beliefs, but they were the masters of their kitabs, they were alims, they were scholars, and they saw these signs that the Nabi will come and he will have these qualities, and according to that they wanted to see. There's another event which is similar to this. There was a Jew, and he was a scholar, big scholar, and he was a hafid, you can say, of the Torah. He was had the hifz of memorization of the Torah. So he read the Torah, and within the Torah there were the qualities of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the final Prophet will come and he will have these qualities, signs. So when Rasulullah came to Madinatul Munawwara, Zaid ibn Thana was his name, Zaid ibn Thana, and himself he mentions his own event. He said that I had read the Torah, and there were some qualities that were mentioned about the final Prophet to come. So I started to go into the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I saw all of the qualities. I witnessed all of the qualities that were in the Torah. But there was one sign I was still waiting to be confirmed, proven. And I wanted, how do I get this to be proven physically in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, in the Torah, I had read that the final Prophet who will come, his quality will be that if somebody speaks to him with rudeness, angrily, with jahala, ignorance, then he will respond with gentle and nice, smiling approach. Ah, subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Why? Say, brothers, this is today's message: to be rude and stern and cold with people, they will not be forgiven on the 15th night of Shaban, because this is not following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Doesn't matter how much prostration we do, we will not succeed. So he said that I was seeking, looking for an event or an example. He said eventually an example came that the Jama'ah of the Sahaba was there one day, and a man came. I was sat there as well, he said. And a man came, he was a villager from outside Medina, and he came and said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I learned Islam from you. I went back to my village in the countryside, and I presented Islam to the people. And when I presented Islam to the people, I said to my people, my tribe, come into Islam. And they came into Islam, alhamdulillah. And I said, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakat will come, will be happy and prosperous, and we will have no problems and issues." And he said that everyone in the village and my tribe, my people, became Muslims when I propagated the message to him. He said, then what happened, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that drought came to our locality, it stopped raining, there was poverty, people started to die out of hunger. So I've come for this reason, that I'm a bit afraid that because we are new into Islam, into the fold of Islam, and I said to them, and this is not the condition of Islam, If you pray salah, your shop and business will run nicely. If you do dhikr, then from the heavens, things will rain down, mercies will rain down upon you, and everything will happen nicely and smoothly. If you go to the Wali Wallah's company, everything will be nice. No, this was not the message of Rasulullah. Qulu la ilaha illallah. That believe in Allah, and if you do la ilaha illallah, you will get Jannah, paradise, and akhirah. Hereafter, you will get the riches. Yes, the treasures. So there's no condition if we come into Islam, and this will continue until Qiyamah. This doesn't mean that if we become pious and good, that all of our affairs in the world will be easy, our businesses will flourish, and money will increase. No, this is not necessarily the case at all. So when Rasulullah ﷺ heard this, he said, is it? Okay, so you said this and this happened. He said, I'm afraid, O Rasulullah ﷺ, that they don't go back out of the fold of Islam and leave Islam. So I came with this request to you, that can you assist monetarily, a bit financially, so I can give them some money or food, so that their Islam is saved. Aha, there are many masail I can present here, but we have short time in this period. So this is a great hadith, long hadith, and we can take a lot of lessons from this, alhamdulillah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell silent, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have anything to give to him. And then he said that I was there, Zayd ibn Thanam, and he was seeking an opportunity that he could carry out this final, you could say, litmus test. So he said, I found the opportunity, and I moved myself forward, presented myself, volunteered myself, that can I help? And Rasulullah said, what will you do? He said, 80 mithkal silver. Lot of amount, that is a high amount. And he was rich, quite wealthy. He said, 80 mithkal silver I will give. And obviously, then that village, everybody will become wealthy, good money, good amount, financially stable. But he said, I have a condition, that you give me some time, that you will pay the debt off in that time. And in that time, equivalent to the amount of money I've given, you will have to give me that amount of dates from a certain garden. Rasulullah ﷺ said, fine, I accept that, that you give me the silver and I will repay that debt, but in the form of the dates. But you will get the dates and the amount, but don't say from this garden or that date palm or from this garden. In Islam, we cannot restrict it to, yes, you tell me the amount and we will give you, repay you the debt in the form of dates. So he said, okay, fine, that the transaction was made. So the jewelry he gave, and the villager went back to his village, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, look, take this, the gold, the silver, distribute it to people. And Rasulullah ﷺ said a beautiful thing, when you spread out and distribute, then be just. Subhanallah. Yeah, a lot of lessons come from this hadith. So when somebody is given something or sent somewhere, yes, with a certain purpose. In anything, if you give somebody responsibility, then be careful there. One thing, what is that? That mete out the justice. Yeah, be just in your distribution. If I say to you, here's some money, distribute this money. And you go, your close friends, associates and relatives, you give them more. And you give them favoritism. And take this in any Islamic affair or subject. If somebody's given a duty, go and spread deen here. And you call this khilafat, or the person's a deputy, then he goes and propagates his own mission, his own words, his own meanings. But, and then he puts to the back those were his teachers and who guided him. So this is breaking the trust. So a whole lesson comes here, that when a person's given duty, responsibility, Islamically, then don't break the trust. That person should totally mete out, distribute that trust properly with justice, equally to everyone. Whoever is rightfully due has to give this matter. If his relatives are close, they give an influence, bribe him. No, but he will have to implement the haq and decide on haq. Say subhanallah. On the right decision. So how beautiful a message of Islam. Rasulullah said to him, the villager, go take this money, distribute it, but don't give more to your relatives and friends, and everyone else gets left behind. Do it equally, nicely. So he went, and mashallah, their situation became better. Now we come to the other scenario. Hazrat Zayd bin Thana radiallahu anhu, because he was a companion, said that, what did I do? That 2 days were left, or 3 days were left, where the debt had to be paid off fully. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in a certain location where, from a certain date garden, he was sitting with Azim Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhum. They were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, next to that date palm, next to the date gardens where the dates were being harvested. And he said, I reached there because I knew that the dates were coming from there. He said, there was still time, 2-3 days, a few days left. And I was in a mood, angry. I made an angry mood, and I was rude, and I demonstrated ignorance and no flexibility. I was hot, flared up, tempered, and I said things rudely. Oh, why haven't you repaid me until yet? You promised to me I'll get this many dates. You call yourself a prophet. I heard that the prophet's this and that. So when he said all of these words, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on listening. But there were different companions there, and everyone had their qualities. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was different in his mood, temperament. He had a different style. And it wasn't that all of the Sahaba were not, you can say, upset or unhappy. But everyone was different in their style. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu suddenly stood up. His face was red. And he took out what he had to and said, "Listen, O man. You are saved for this reason that I am afraid that here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, otherwise I would have dealt with you accordingly." And he said this sternly to that man, to Hazrat Zayd. And he started to tremble with anger. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this and said, "Umar, sit down." And Hazrat Umar sat down, radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'm very sad to hear your words." Who is saying this? Allah's Nabi, about whom that man spoke rudely against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Umar, you have said some disappointing things. And now we're learning this on the bank of the night of the 15th of Shaban, because the night of 15th of Shaban has come to teach us how to become good human beings. So we're taking this lesson from this hadith." So Rasulullah said that the rightful thing for you to have said, the right thing that you should have said, is that what you should have said is to give me nasiha. That, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you give his right? Can you fulfill his right? And you should have given nasiha to that man, that because you are demanding your debt, then you should speak nicely and calmly and not rudely and not with anger. There's no need for this. If you had said this, this is what was the right and correct thing to do at this moment in time. But you spoke sternly, even more stronger than what he spoke to me. And this is wrong. So what will happen now? Rasulullah said that, go take him. And the dates, his dates that are due to him, give to him. But because you were strong and stern against him, then 12 mithkal, in other words, 12 man or certain weight, you will have to give him extra dates because you were stern against him, strict against him, slightly very strong against him in the way you responded to him. So Hazrat Umar said, "That's fine, Rasulullah." And he took him to the date garden and he said, "When my dates were completed," he said, "Here, this is a quantity of 12 extra, in certain quantity of weight that Rasulullah said to give to you." And he said, "Why are you giving me extra?" He said, "I'm giving to you for this reason, because I responded to your rebuking. I responded to your sternness with extra sternness and strictness and coldness. And I was strong against you. And our Prophet taught us that this is not the quality of your mu'min, that he speaks to somebody sternly and strongly. Rather, if someone speaks to us strongly and sternly, we should reply with softness and love and gentleness. So I've been given this punishment, that whatever I said to you, that I have to give you extra amount in dates as compensation for my treatment against you." He said, "Okay, that's fine." He said, "Umar, do you recognize me?" He said, "No, I don't recognize you." He said, "I'm Zayd ibn Thana." He said, "Huh? You are that Jew scholar?" He said, "Yes." He was a big scholar and a famous scholar. He said, "You are that scholar?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I'm even now even more sad that in the Torah, the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come, and you spoke in this manner against Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I thought you were a normal person, and you've gone beyond the excess, beyond the limits, and then you spoke knowing that he's the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Then he became angry again. And he said, no, I'll explain to you the situation." Then he repeated the whole event, his purpose, the plan he had hatched, and he wanted to prove the sign of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "In the Torah I had read the praise that the Prophet to come will be like this, and this will be his sign, that he will respond to rudeness with gentleness, and this is the sign of our Nabi, and this is why it was mentioned in the previous kitabs that he is the Nabi of Allah." Imagine this, a big point, big praise, big sign, brick criteria of fulfilling the sunnah. "So this is the sign," he said, "that was mentioned in our Torah, that the Nabi will come, the final Nabi, that when he is spoken to with ignorance and rudeness, doesn't matter how strong and stern you are with him, rather he will respond with a smile and gentleness and care. Alhamdulillah," he said, "that today this has been fulfilled." He said, "Whatever you do, however quick it can be, take me to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I want to come into the fold of Islam." In the hadith it is stated that Zayd ibn Thana, he was so close with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst all of the Sahaba, and he stayed all his life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and alhamdulillah he achieved a lot and he achieved a high status to this extent that he was alive at the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu when he was a Khalifa, and he was in many of the journeys and expeditions, and he was given shahada, and every companion respected him, alhamdulillah. So this, where have we learnt all of this from? Tell me. Gentleness, caring attitude, softness. There's only one way, and that is from the source of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the source of the following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take ibadat, if we want to do ibadah in Shaban, aqimus salah, that do we, can we pray fajr salah 4 rakat fard? Can we pray 3 rakat fard in dhuhr? Can we pray 2 rakat fard in isha? No. Why? What do we have to do? Who do we follow? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did he demonstrate this to us? What did he explain to us? So there's no ibadah, ma'ashara, society, living, interacting, everything. And the greatest lesson, akhlaqiyat, manners, and conduct, behavior. Allah Ta'ala is saying today, those whose manners and conduct are the best will be forgiven. And we cannot learn this subject of good manners, good conduct, good akhlaq, unless we go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So my brothers, this is the 15th night of Shaban, and Allah Ta'ala is giving this opportunity to us that the night is about to come in the coming days. So let's not carry out games and trickery, try to deceive ourselves. No, let's prepare from today that we will promise to Allah that, Allah, I want to become a better human being. And my whole life I want to live in accordance to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not a second of the life should pass without this. No turn in life, no manner in life, no matter of our life, no issue in our life should pass without us taking guidance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every decision of ours should be based on the sunnah. If we don't know the answer to a certain masla, ask the ulama, the scholars, the ashikain, the mashaykh, the walis of Allah, that what is the hukam here? For example, if me and you have an argument, don't make the decision yourself. Say that let's ask a third party, that what is the sunnah about this dispute? What is the resolution? And such paths will come out for our life. Remember this, that we should consider ourselves as lifeless. We have no mind, no intellect, no brain, no understanding. Everything, guidance we will get from where? Ittiba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we go against the sunnah, against the guidance, if we don't take the guidance, if we don't take that positive feedback from the sunnah, and we make decisions ourselves according to our poor understanding, our lack of understanding, we try to take other people's advice, which is away from the sunnah, then write this on the book of your heart, that this will never give us success, no barakah, no blessings, no benefit in the hereafter, nor in the dunya. Mu'min, his quality is not that a second of his life or a decision of his life is taken without the sunnah of Rasulullah. This was the blessed habit of the Sahabah Ikram. They would lift their fingers in salah like the way Rasulullah did. Subhanallah. They would move around in the same way. After eating, they would lick their fingers just the way Rasulullah licked his fingers. Even if they were in a big gathering in the king's court and they would eat the food, the morsel fell onto the food mat, they would pick it up, blow on it, eat it. And someone said, oh, we're in front of the king. What are you doing? They were helping the sahabi. He said, why are you helping me? He said, what did you do? The food fell on the floor from your plate and you picked it up and ate it? He said, why are you speaking nonsense to me? Said the sahabi. That you think due to these foolish people, I will discard the sunnah of my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, how much courage they had in us today. Doesn't take a second. We compromise. Oh, what will he say? What will happen? Oh, I'm embarrassed. What will occur? And suddenly we lose hope. Is this iman? Is this belief? This is the reminder of the 15th night of Sha'ban. All of our life that we have spent until today without the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then why do we hope that we will succeed due to our ibadah? Worship by leaving ittiba of Rasulullah, we will attain success by leaving his love. You think that your ibadah will be accepted, said Rasulullah? You think your salah will be accepted? Your tahajjud will be accepted, you think? How can this be? How can this be? This cannot be. This cannot be. Subhanallah. So if a person doesn't come onto the path of ittiba in the life of Rasulullah, then we cannot succeed. We can't say, oh, this is fard and wajib, mustahab, sunnah, ghayr muqdar. No, we're not talking about these levels. The Sahaba Ikram, their standard wasn't this. They didn't classify the actions. They looked at the sunnah with greatness and they heard that Rasulullah said this, so he did this, this is what we have to do. So where are we sitting? If we don't understand the answers, ask the ulama. That even if there's a da'if hadith, a weak hadith, we cannot reject it, oh, it's weak hadith. But if it's in the fadail, the ulama have said that take the hadith because the virtues are there. The Rasulullah sunnah we are learning, and if it's a da'if hadith, the ulama have stated that if it's strengthened by other things, then the fadail is there. Ah, but we can't take a sharia hukam order with a da'if hadith, but where there are fadail and virtues of an action, then that backs up and strengthens that action. Allah Ta'ala will accept and it will become proven. So sunnah sharifa, this is the quality of the sunnah, that any hadith, if it contains the sunnah, if it's proven from a sahabi, from a companion radiyallahu anhu, then accept it and embrace it, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah will descend, Allah's mercy will descend, because we have received this due to our understanding. We understand this, that this was a sahabi's practice, and this is the decision of the ulama, the scholars. So inshallah, promise that one night is left, that Laylatul Barat, the 15th of Shaban, we've understood. Let's not play games, deceive ourselves. We need to do tawbah first and foremost. So we've understood that what tawbah will we do first? On what point? On what? That the life we have spent until today without the sunnah of Rasulullah, we've wasted it. Allah, forgive us. And we promise that from today, that every decision of ours in our life, every decision of ours in our life, our focus and attention will be where? According upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Whether we see material loss or gain, we will not look at this, because there's no benefit. There's no benefit. There's no name of benefit. There's no imagination of benefit there. There isn't. Yeah, where can there be benefit? But benefit is only in the sunnah. Even if a disaster occurs, fighting, disputes, quarrels, arguments, make the decision. How should we make the decision? That what does the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say here? Look how great a sahabi was. He was a Yahudi before. He was an alim, a scholar. But he wanted to become a Muslim and he wanted to prove the sign. And he used the sign of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't look at worship. He didn't look at anything. He looked at what is the blessed habit, his life, his manners, his behavior. I want to see this proved, then I will leave my religion and come into the fold of Islam. And he accepted. When he made the decision, he based his decision on the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's make our decisions today on the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't, then we are living the life of the blind and there's nothing with us. We are like an empty box. Deception. Any decision you want to make, family, home, outside, business, outside, inside, friends, haram, halal, lawful, unlawful, everything was demonstrated by Rasulullah SAW. Everything A to Z and totally into detail. Into detail. So we need to have determination and courage. We need to pull ourselves together. Otherwise, we will depart from this world unsuccessful. Allah Ta'ala has given us this night to 15th night of Shaban that's to come. Let's make this a beautiful night in our lives. Let's make our sins forgiven and the previous sins we've implemented, let them become forgiven due to actions. And may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and let the fear come out of our hearts. That we will practice the sunnah, will be destroyed, or will get lost, or our business will stop running. Take this khawf out, this fear out, and whatever there is, decide upon this decision. Wa akhru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.